York.
It's Friday, and you know what that means. Carla Bernard is back in the hot seat for a bit of Skinner, a bit of fun, a bit of clip any boss. Is that?
Yes.
Is that the right one? And today, Carla, we're talking interfaith experiences, particularly, you know, as the month of Ramadan has begun, yeah. Lent is ongoing, and then there's Easter in the next week. So what are some of the, shall I say, special experiences we've had with someone of a different faith? What have we learnt?
So, Abs, firstly, hello. Wonderful to see you and to be engaging with you. And then also just a wishing Muslim listeners a wonderful, blessed Ramadan. And the thing is, so I grew up on the Cape Flats, and so Ramadan was part, and of course Eid was part and parcel of all of our lives in the community. And so, you know, I'm on social media, I'm watching whether the moon is sighted or not, and the debate around that. And it just got me thinking about, you know, this is the time I really miss being back on the Cape Flats, because I had these experiences that I think, and every South African, unless you're living under a rock, but all of us have this opportunity to engage with different cultures, different religions. I mean, we have the world in our little city, in our country. And being able to grow up, and I had two close Muslim friends growing up, little girls, we were all little girls. The one was Rahima, and Rahima would teach me about the four pillars of Islam. You can't ask me about it now. Yeah. I don't remember.
Because that was exactly what I was going to say. What are they? Tell me.
I don't know. I don't know, but I also don't know much about my own faith.
Yeah.
So.
I want to put it out there to the listeners. Maybe you can send us a voice note. Now, quick voice note, maybe detailing and explaining to us the four pillars of Islam. That's if you can, and if you allowed to, you want to. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
072-567-1567.
And maybe it sparks something in me.
Yes.
So there was that, and she would also then teach me how to pray, because of course in Christian faith our hands are closed, it's together, and then in Islam your hands are open. So learning those kinds of differences, and then also my other little friend that I had, Nazli was at the age where she was beginning to fast for a full day. And so I thought, I mean, if Nazli can do it, and if Nazli can play with me outside and still have a full life, then like obviously I can do it. Abs, I did not last more than an hour. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Every single Muslim person I know manages to do that, but it is a different kind of strength and discipline.
And easily, by the way. They seem to do it. They go through the effortlessly.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at them. I'm like, I've eaten breakfast. My stomach is already rumbling. Yeah. Why are these people okay with this?
And Dors, we're thirsty. How do you go without water? It's just like, it's incredible. And the kinds of things that you can learn from that. And just, it really is, I feel is when you really do have community around you. So number one, you know that your community is in this with you. Your support network is in this with you. And you know that there is faith guiding you. There is, and you believe so deeply and love so deeply, this faith, that becomes things that would otherwise be, we think we need it for survival. We think we need to have five times a day. You know, you can, it's mind of a matter. It's just like.
And someone once said, I don't know who, maybe I'm quoting something that I heard from someone who's not important, but they said that, you know, the mind and body are not relevant when faith is involved.
Oh.
You know, the mind and body are just there. But when faith is involved, anything can be achieved.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it speaks to the Muslim community.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So shout out to our Muslim brothers and sisters. I mean, you guys are really, it's something to teach all of us.
Yeah.
But, and of course these lessons exist, different kinds of lessons exist in every community, in every faith. And one of the really, lekker opportunities I had in my work that I'm doing now, which is around food security, is then spending a few days in Langa. I mean, I used to spend many days in Langa when I was working here at Cape Talk, because one of our leaders, Ahiros, was based there. But we went to Langa this time, and for the first time, someone offered me a smiley. And because I had said to him, you know, my ancestry is partly Griqua.
Yeah.
And so he was like, okay. And he listened and whatever. And the next thing, come lunch, he came back. He called me. It was a group of we had security with us because we were traveling around, walking around areas, on foot. And so this is a community security group that provides services. And so they all brought me aside and they said, well, Yukhrikwa, you need to honor your ancestors. You're going to eat the smiley. And at first I was frightened because this O is looking back at me, not quite smiling. He's just lumming it ate the sheep.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was just like, it's a wonderful experience to be able to say that I've participated in a meal that is so integral to a huge part of our country.
You know, by the way, for the purposes of you at home, if you don't know what a smiley is a sheep's head.
Yeah.
So we call that a smiley. And I remember a story. I think it was a friend of mine that worked for one of the media corporations where he brought a half a smiley to work to eat for lunch.
In a lunchbox.
Yeah. You know, in the scuffing, you know, it's like, yeah. So when he opened it, many of the colleagues were like, no, this, you can't eat that here. He says, but this is my food. Why can't I have it here? And but it talks to the cultural inclusivity.
Yes.
You know what you're talking about, learning and seeing different things, man.
And it's amazing to learn. I don't know why anyone would not want to. I Abs, you probably don't know this, and I mean most people probably wouldn't know. But when I was 14, I had the opportunity to be on this traveling show, children's traveling show, and I remember the question they said to me was, okay, if someone offers you whatever, a food that you aren't used to eating, are you going to eat it? And my answer is the same as it is today. Of course I'm going to. But then you're going to come back with me to Cozy Corner and we're going to eat the Gatsby together.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
how it's going to go. We're going to exchange.
I always say, don't tell me what it is. Don't tell me what it is first. Let me just eat and just know the taste and understand. After that, you can tell me what I've just eaten.
Yeah.
I just want to put in the listeners in the conversation. I know that we have a voice note on this. To you listening at home, it is 16 minutes before we get to the top of the hour. Carla V is in studio, and of course, we're having fun. Today, we're talking interfaith experiences, particularly, you know, as the month of Ramadan has begun. Lent is ongoing, and then there's Easter in the next week. She's talking to us about, you know, being in the Muslim community, also talking to us about being in the Langa community. What do you have to say at home on 072-567-1567?
So I come from a multi-religious household where my mother is Catholic and my father is Muslim. This means that all religious holidays have a sort of untraditional, unconventional spin. And every year is a sort of different experience. This year, for example, Easter, the Easter weekend falls in the time or in the month of Ramadan. So we will not be celebrating Easter in a conventional way. This means that we will wait to celebrate our Easter Sunday until my household breaks their fast, and then we will sort of celebrate Easter as one usually would with family and so on.
Fascinating.
That must be such a lucky experience.
All right. 021-446-0567. You guys are getting me excited now. I'm learning so many new things. I'm getting very excited. 021-446-0567. Cher in Weinberg, what do you have to say?
Oh, hi. Yes. This is how Christian fasting goes. I have fasted for 4 days on water. I haven't eaten in the morning or after sunset. I fasted just on water, but I have water. I don't go without water, but no food at all. My sister in Durban has fasted for 3 weeks on just water. Okay, I couldn't make it that far, but I often fast for a day or whatever.
Sure.
So Christians, a lot of us can't keep it over 1 hour. It's just that you've got to get used to it.
Sure, I think you made a mistake there. You said 3 weeks. I think you meant 3 days.
No, that's just a dead fast in Durban for 3 weeks. Oh, I've done it for 4 days on water.
I die.
You work up to it. You like fast half a day till 3 o'clock or another day till 7 o'clock. You can't just, like you said, you couldn't make it 1 hour. You can't just start fasting. You have to do it slowly. Other thing I want to say quickly is that if you don't believe in Christ's death and resurrection, you will not share in it and be brought to everlasting life and have a new body. That's what I want to say.
Oh, absolutely wonderful words. But Cher, I'm telling you now, if we're in Parliament right now, I would have stood up and said, honorable member, on a point of order. Shane Wanberg, thank you so very much for your views. I mean, there it is. And we were asking the question, Kala B, that, you know, someone to talk to us about the four pillars of Islam. And we just lost Rahman now. I think Walid is going to try and get Rahman back on the line. We've lost him to tell us about the four pillars. But I mean, your comments and thoughts on what you've heard.
Okay, so Shah is up there with, you know, that is a kind of strength. And there she said it, you know, it comes from faith. It comes from whatever you choose to be your guide in life. If you are 100% committed, that can be it, whether you are religious, whether you are not. But you know, Abs, I was just thinking now, so there's a couple of things, and I said that I used to live on the Cape Flats, I moved away, but there are things that every year during Ramadan that I really miss. And the two things is, one, and I'm putting it out there, I don't get barakat anymore. No one gives me barakat.
That, at least of all the things I know about that part.
No one gives me barakat anymore, and I'm really upset about that. And I've put it out many times, so now I'm putting it out to a much bigger platform. I love Buba.
Yeah.
Oh. Not a Faluda fan, but Buba, some bolas. I don't know if you've had a bola. It's slightly different to a kusista, but you must have a bola.
Okay.
Yeah. So that I miss. And then as a youngster as well, to go around with now friends Nazli and Rahima, was to go get money. Now, I would love to go get money from the neighbors again.
Why did you start this whole conversation with that? Why did we start with everything else? You would have had me at money.
We must go find our friends, Abs, and we must accompany them.
If you're just joining in on the conversation, 12 minutes before we get to the top of the hour, don't miss out. Share your views also. Color Bees in studio, and today we're talking interfaith experiences, particularly as the month of Ramadan has begun. Lent is ongoing, and then Easter is next week on 021-446-0567. Have your say, because Kala B was talking to us about learning about the four pillars of Islam. And so we were hoping someone would call in and tell us a bit more about that. Rahman, good morning. I believe you can teach us something. Hello.
Hello, good morning to you and all your listeners.
Please, good morning to you.
In fact, I would like to clarify this. In fact, there are over 700 commandments in the Holy Quran. These pillars are only divided into piecemeal. You know, when it's like a child. You can't feed the child solid meals when he grows up. It is a gradual process. Now, many Muslims, unfortunately, they've lost the philosophy of fasting. Fasting is not only to abstain from food and water. The main thing is to control the animal instinct within every human being. The way they behave, the way they interact, the trust, the way they, you know, all this type of thing. So, if you, let's say, for example, if you are abusive in your family towards your children or your wife and all that, then there's no need for you to fast. God doesn't need that type of fasting. If you have road rage, for example, if you cheat and lie and, you know, do anything that goes against the commandments of God, then that fasting is actually meaningless. The same thing with the prayers. Is that people, they do these things, but it's only become a ritual. There's no deep spiritual significance within many of the Muslims. It is, and even the Christians as well. In fact, people of all faith, they only keep the physical aspect of their religion alive, but they've lost the essence, the spirit of their religion.
Rahman, thank you so much for that. And then Kala B is nodding in the studio, I think you hit close to home. But I was thinking to myself when he was talking about resisting the animal instinct. I'm like, you put food in front of me. There's nothing that can stop.
Especially liquor food, herbs, and free food.
But it's so enlightening having these conversations, Kala B.
Yeah, and like I said, is we are so lucky to live in a country where we can. You can literally just turn to your right, and there's someone there that you can learn from about their culture, about their faith. And it can teach us so much, and it makes us so much richer as human beings, so much more complex and interesting. And Abs, I was also just thinking now that one of the experiences, because also I believe Passover, which is of course in the Jewish faith, is happening in April. So, I mean, all of us but Christianity, Islam, Judaism, sharing these very important dates. And I've never been to Shabbat. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, I think so.
On a Friday night.
Wait, we've got actually a voice note talking to us about a Jewish Passover.
Oh.
I really think it's very important to remember also that the Jewish festival of Passover falls at this time as well. In fact, I think it starts on the 5th of April. So we are all united in some way, and it's really important to remember that if we're talking about the interfaith community. This is Beryl, and I'm from Table View.
Yeah.
There we go. And Beryl, I've not been to Shabbat. I think that's what it's called or how it's pronounced. But those are the, I think it's the three meals that you eat on a Friday night that signify struggles and then struggles and overcoming. I think that's what it is. But Beryl, if you would like to invite me for a Friday night and I can learn more, I'm here. And so along with a barakat, I want both. I'm open to both. I have space for both.
I love that barakat part of it, because if you don't know these things, I'm going to try and explain what I know. And I only know the barakat because it's your leftover food.
Yeah.
So when you visit a family, they'll pack something to take home with you. That's how I know it.
Yeah. And I mean, we all do that. It's just that this is a really special time where you get to now eat what this community eats, what is part. And I mean, food is such an important part of who we are. Thinking about like picklefish, all the picklefish debates are going to start now if they haven't already. But
Don't get me started. You know, when I first came to Cape Town, it was the talk of the town. I was like, I got to try this. This is to be magnificent.
Where did you get it from, though?
No, I get it from, you get it from everywhere. From friends, from family. If Zane Johnson also made me some in my, I think
now
it was
I
my
imagine
second year.
Zane can Zane, definitely.
It's beautiful. It's lovely. Don't get me wrong. It's lovely. It's all of that. But it's, you know, it's an acquired taste, I think.
It is, though. It's so, it's like, and what's amazing about it is, it's of course, it's a Malay, as far as I know, someone will definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a Malay dish. And so then it then crosses religious boundaries as well.
I just wanted to bring the listeners into this because we only got about 6 minutes left, and I'm loving the conversation that they're bringing. Thank you for making us have this conversation. If you've just joined in, you're listening to Carla Bernardo, who is back in the hot seat today. We're just having a bit of fun. We're talking interfaith experiences, and you're more than allowed, you're more than welcome to come in with your, you know, faith and experiences when it comes to whatever religious or whatever, what's the word that I'm looking for? Color.
Just like a moment of learning, an opportunity
that
you grabbed.
That's what I'm looking for. So give us a shot. Talk to us. Send us a voice note on 072-567-1567.
Hi there. So my husband and myself, we have two different denominations. He's Pentecostal and I'm Catholic, and we have a daughter. And what happens on Easter is that on a Thursday, obviously the Catholics have Holy Thursday Mass. And on a Friday, it's Good Friday. So in the mornings, we go to his service at the Pentecostal church. And then 3 o'clock, we go to our Good Friday Mass at the Catholic church. For Easter Mass, we do the Saturday night vigil at the Catholic church. All of us go together as a family. And on a Sunday morning, for Easter Sunday, we do the 9 o'clock Mass at his church, or the 9 o'clock service, Pentecostal service at his church. So the only difference is that our services for Easter are a bit more solemn, if I could put it that way. And their services are more charismatic, it's praise and worship, and they do a word and all those things. But we compromise in that way, and we celebrate both. Or we go to each other's churches, and we take part in both together as a family.
I like
it. Hi there, good morning. I couldn't help but agree with your previous caller, in which he talks about when he says they've lost the essence of fasting, and it's so true. I mean, it's got nothing just to do with Muslim, but it has to do across the board of all religions, that there is no more dignity one towards the other one. I mean, this was the holy month of Ramadan that came forth, and I mean, I work with Muslims, and the manner in which they address themselves and their ill behavior towards fellow staff members, one would think that here's an opportunity of really sitting down and looking into how I can make this particular month, which is for me so holy, to make a change in my life. I find that to be you know, a very sad situation.
Thank you so very much for that. Color B, what have you done? How could you give us such a lovely conversation on a Friday? No, how? Listen, I gotta run, or we gotta say goodbye to one another. But before I do, your parting words.
So, you know, I'm open. I'm available to be eating and learning from you. You just hit Abs up, hit Joe up, hit Clarence up. I will take all the barakat, all the Passover meals. I'm here for you. I will learn from you. I will appreciate it. But in regards to the final caller, now we must then reflect on these moments. We must continue to commit ourselves to learning about one another. There's a whole world that we could, you know, we could allow ourselves to be brought down and to be, you know, just sad and upset and doom and gloom and whatever. But if we remember that the opportunities that exist here, the people that exist here, we really are something special. There isn't another country like us.
Need I say more? Carla Bernardo. In the